نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم أما بعد As death approaches a person then people vary in the amount or the degree of awareness that they are in during the final stages of their life. And therefore, what we will discuss, inshallah, are things that apply to some people more than others in regard to the person who is dying, what he's supposed to do. So as much as his senses allow, of course, if it is a woman, then her senses. So that is something that we need to keep in our minds. As much as his senses allow, a dying person should try to conclude his life with good deeds that will guarantee for him Jannah and save him from all forms of punishment. As it becomes harder for him to maintain a balanced mode of action and speech, those attending him should help him in that. Those who are around the dying person should help him with these things. First, good thoughts about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A dying person should have good thoughts and hopes toward his Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala. Remembering his great generosity and looking forward to his blessings and forgiveness. Jabir, and as you will see that many of the ahadith that we'll be relating are reported by Jabir ibn Abdullah radiallahu anhu. And Jabir, when he was a young man, probably in his teens, his father died in the Battle of Uhud. And therefore there are many things reported very relevant to death by him radiallahu anhu. So Jabir ibn Abdullah radiallahu anhu reported that the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "La yamutanna ahadukum illa wa huwa yuhsinu adh-dhanna billahi ta'ala," which means none of you should die without having good expectations in Allah or about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. La yamutanna ahadukum illa wa huwa yuhsinu adh-dhanna billahi ta'ala. And the dying person should be always, this applies to all people, but especially, particularly about the dying person, that he should be in a state which is a level between hope and fear. Hoping for Allah's mercy and forgiveness, ar-raja, and fearing Allah's punishment, khawf. So a dying believer should be in a state of combined fear and hope. Fearing Allah's punishment for his sins and hoping for his mercy. Anas radiallahu anhu reported that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam visited a young man who was dying. He asked him, "Kayfa tajiduka? Kayfa tajiduka? How are you? Or how do you feel?" He replied, "By Allah, O Messenger of Allah, by Allah, Ya Rasulullah, I have hope in Allah. Inni أرجو الله وأخاف ذنوبي. By Allah, I have hope in Allah and I fear my sins." So Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, "لا يجتمعان في قلب عبد في مثل هذا الموطن إلا أعطاه الله ما يرجو وأمنه مما يخاف." لا يجتمعان في قلب عبد في مثل هذا الموطن أي الخوف والرجاء. الخوف من الذنوب يعني ومن عقاب الله عز وجل عليها والرجاء في رحمة الله عز وجل. So لا يجتمعان في قلب عبد في مثل هذا الموطن إلا أعطاه الله ما يرجو وأمنه مما يخاف. These two qualities, hope and fear, do not dwell together in a person's heart in this situation of death, but Allah will grant him what he hopes and save him from what he fears. Also, a dying person should return the rights of people. يرد الحقوق يعني. A dying person should fulfill his obligations towards other people before death overtakes him. If he cannot fulfill that by himself, he should give instructions or make arrangements for doing so. Abu Huraira radiallahu anh reported that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, من كانت عنده مظلمة لأخيه من أرضه أو ماله فليؤديها إليه قبل أن يأتي يوم القيامة قبل أن يأتي يوم القيامة لا يقبل فيه دينار ولا درهم إن كان له عمل صالح أخذ منه وأعطي صاحبه وإن لم يكن له عمل صالح أخذ من سيئات صاحبه فحملت عليه. Which means, whoever had oppressed his brother in his reputation or wealth, let him remedy that before the day of judgment comes. Because no dirham or dinar will be accepted then. Dirham is the silver currency they used to use, and dinar is the gold currency that they used to use. So it's like, you know, roughly you would say dirham is a dollar and dinar is like $10. Because no dirham or dinar will be accepted then. If he has good deeds, they will be taken from him and given to his brother. And if he does not have good deeds, he will be burdened with his brother's sins. Also Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu reported that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked the Sahaba, أتدرون ما المفلس؟ أتدرون ما المفلس؟ Do you know who is truly ruined? To which the Sahaba replied, a ruined man among us is one who does not possess money or property. He صلى الله عليه وسلم then explained to them or corrected them, إن المفلس من أمتي من يأتي يوم القيامة بصلاة وصيام وزكاة ويأتي قد شتم هذا وقذف هذا وأكل مال هذا وسفك دم هذا وضرب هذا فيعطى هذا من حسناته وهذا من حسناته فإن فنيت حسناته قبل أن يقضى ما عليه أخذ من خطاياهم فطرحت عليه ثم طرح في النار. Which means, indeed, a ruined person of my ummah is one who comes on the day of resurrection with prayers, fasting, and zakah. With prayer, fasting, and zakah. However, he had abused so-and-so, defamed so-and-so, unlawfully consumed the wealth of so-and-so, shed the blood of so-and-so, and beaten so-and-so. Thus, this and that will be given from his good deeds. If his good deeds finish before he returns what he owes, he will be burdened with their sins, then hurled into the fire. يُقْضَى مَا عَلَيْهِ يعني it's not he, ليس هو الذي يقضي ولكن يُقْضَى مَا عَلَيْهِ. Okay, so this is the second thing, returning people's rights, then final instructions and will. Or the third thing maybe. So, final instructions and will. A dying person should make sure that his will is current and to his liking. In addition, he should give final instructions to his family and friends and other people around him, reminding them of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and directing them to take care of fulfilling his obligations after his death. Jabir bin Abdullah radiallahu anhuma reported that on the eve of the battle of Uhud, his father summoned him and instructed him. He said, I expect to be among the first of the Prophet's companions to be killed tomorrow. مَا أَرَانِي إِلَّا مَقْتُولًا غَدًا. He said, I expect to be among the first أو أول ما أراني إلا أول أصحاب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم استشهادا أو قتلا غدا أو موتا غدا. I expect to be among the first of the Prophet's companions to be killed tomorrow. I am not leaving after me any soul more dear to me than you. I am not leaving after me any soul more dear to me than you. Like so. Is this a correct statement? Huh? Who is more dear to him, supposed to be more dear to him? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he did not forget to mention that. He said, except for Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he's telling his son, you are the dearest to me after my death, except for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I owe some debts, so pay them off. And take good care of your brothers and sisters. So, just before his death, when he was expecting to die, he instructed his son to take care of important things that need to be taken care of after his death. Now, what to do for a dying person? People who are watching him, helping him in his final stage of life, what should they do for him? When death approaches a person, those in his presence are required to do certain things as described in the following. First, prompting with the Shahada. I think, did we discuss this last week or we just skimmed over it? Prompting with the Shahada. He should be gently but firmly prompted to utter the Shahada. La ilaha illallah, there is no true God except Allah. This is called Talqeen. Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu anhu, Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, and others among the Sahaba reported that Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَقِّنُوا مَوْتَاكُمْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ مَنْ كَانَ آخِرَ كَلَامِهِ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ عِنْدَ الْمَوْتِ دَخَلَ الْجَنَّةَ يَوْمًا مِنَ الدَّهْرِ وَإِنْ أَصَابَهُ قَبْلَ ذَلِكَ مَا أَصَابَهُ لَقِّنُوا مَوْتَاكُمْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ, which means prompt your dying ones to say لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. من كان آخر كلامه لا إله إلا الله عند الموت دخل الجنة يوما من الدهر. Anyone who concludes his speech at the time of death with لا إله إلا الله will enter Jannah one day. وإن أصابه قبل ذلك ما أصابه, even or regardless of what happens to him prior to that. Because, you know, some people may not deserve to enter the Jannah without being punished. But those who say La ilaha illallah, believing in it at the time of death, then even if they are punished in the hellfire for their major sins or for things that they did not repent from, eventually they will enter the Jannah and stay in it permanently. And Uthman radiallahu anhu reported that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَن مَاتَ وَهُوَ يَعْلَمُ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ دَخَلَ الْجَنَّةِ. The one who dies knowing that there is no true God except Allah will enter Jannah. Jabir bin Abdullah radiallahu anhuma reported that Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَن مَاتَ لَا يُشْرِكُ بِاللَّهِ شَيْئًا دَخَلَ الْجَنَّةِ. Anyone who dies joining none with Allah enters Jannah. And the prompting is not done by merely uttering the Shahada in the presence of the dying person so that he would hear it. That's what some people do. They just start saying it over and over, even if the dead person is unconscious. This is incorrect. Talqeen means that one should instruct and help the dying person to say it. Rather, he should be commanded and helped to utter it himself. Anas radiallahu anhu reported that Allah's Messenger visited a dying man from Al-Ansar and said to him, I think we read this last week, he said, Ya Khal, Qul La Ilaha Illallah, which means, O uncle, say La Ilaha Illallah. So he used the word Khal. Khal means the uncle from the mother's side. So the man, it seems that he was, you know, not very well aware of what's going on, يعني في سكرات الموت. So he said, أَخَالٌ أَنَا أَمْعَمْ, which means, am I your maternal or paternal uncle? He replied, maternal, because the mother of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Amina, is related to Bani Najjar, who are from Al-Madinah, and therefore the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is related to the people of Medina as they being his uncles or his akhwal from his mother's side. So he asked, is it good for me to say La ilaha illallah? He said yes. And in all the reports that I found of this hadith in Sahih and Musnad Ahmad, it doesn't say what happened after that, whether he said it or not. But from the way the hadith is stated, it seems that he wanted to confirm certain things before he said it, but eventually he said it, Wallahu alam. So it's apparent from this hadith that the man was slightly at loss of reason. Yani he was not aware what he was doing, saying, or what is going on around him. He was half, unconscious or something like that. As he was more interested in knowing his relationship to the Prophet ﷺ than saying the Shahada. Yet the Prophet ﷺ was keen to make him say it, and in the process answered his other questions. Next, for the people in the presence of the dying person, they should supplicate and say good things to him. When visiting a dying person, one should supplicate sincerely for him and say good things that give him glad tidings. Salama reported that Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Idha hadartum al-mariida aw al-mayyita faqulu khayran fa inna al-mala'ikata yu'minuna 'ala ma taqulun." Which means, when you are present with a sick or dying person, say good things because the angels endorse what you say. That's by saying Ameen. يُؤَمِّنُونَ عَلَى مَا تَقُولُونَ means they say Ameen. And this tells that this is a time of accepting, or when the dua is acceptable, because the angels are saying Ameen. So it's important to say good things for the dying person as well as for other people, as we will see in an example from the Prophet ﷺ. Avoiding sinning and innovation. Also, in the presence of the dying person, we should avoid al-ma'asi, يعني نبتعد نجتنب المعاصي والبدع في حضور يعني أو عند حضورنا الميت أو الذي هو في يعني سكرات الموت. People present with a dying person should avoid acts of disobedience and practices that are not substantiated by the authentic sunnah. Examples of that, of the innovations, is reciting Surah Yasin. يعني من الناس من يقرأ سورة ياسين وهي من البدع التي لا أصل لها. يعني على رأس المريض الذي هو على أو أشرف قد أشرف على الموت. And turning the dying person to face Qibla. Some people يعني يوجهون المريض لاتجاه القبلة وهذا ما لا أصل له يعني الذي ثبت هو الميت أن يدفن مواجهة القبلة أما المريض فلا يوجه نحو القبلة. ف even though there is no authentic hadith supporting them, these acts are frequently done by the relatives and friends of dying people. Zura bin Abd al-Rahman reported that he was visiting Sa'id bin al-Musayyib during his fatal illness. يعني في مرض موته في مرض موت سعيد بن المسيب رضي الله عنه زاره زرعة بن عبد الرحمن وهو يبدو من تلاميذه من أتباع التابعين لأن سعيد بن المسيب هو من التابعين. Also present was أبو سلمة بن عبد الرحمن. كان يعني موجودا لعله أحد التابعين اسمه سلمة بن عبد الرحمن. So there was also present another man called سلمة بن عبد الرحمن. أبو سلمة بن عبد الرحمن. Sa'id fainted at some point and Abu Salama ordered that his mattress be moved to face Al-Kaaba. Sa'id ibn al-Musayyib يعني أصيب بغيبوبة لبعض الوقت يعني حين من الوقت في أثناء تلك الزيارة. فاغتنمها فرصة أبو سلمة ووجه فراشه أمر الخدم أو من في البيت أن يوجه فراش سعيد المسيب نحو القبلة. When he regained consciousness, يعني عندما أفاق من غيبوبته, سعيد asked, did you move my mattress? He said, هل يعني حولتم فراشي؟ He was told, yes. He looked at Abu Salama and said, was this done with your knowledge? أكان هذا بعلمك? He replied, I instructed them to do it. He said, actually, I told them to do it. He thought, you know, he did something great. Sa'id then ordered that his mattress be moved back to its original position. فأمر سعيد بأن يعاد فراشه كما كان. يعني أي عبادة ليس لها أصل في السنة حتى في مرض الموت يجب أن لا تفعل. وهذا ما يكثر طبعا, يعني البدع تكثر في الموت وفي الولادة وفي المناسبات التي يعني لها قيمة عاطفية شديدة عند المسلمين. So any act of worship that has no basis is an innovation that should be avoided, whether at time of death or at other times. And you know, especially at the time of death, we find that people commit lots of innovations because of the great emotional impact of death on them. Presenting Islam to non-Muslims. It is permissible for a Muslim to visit a dying non-Muslim. This permission is conditioned by the absence of any signs of shirk or acts of disobedience to Allah. With these conditions, the visit is recommended if it is expected to present a real chance of da'wah for the dying person or those in his presence. Anas radiallahu anhu reported that a Jewish youth used to serve the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He sallallahu alaihi wasallam visited him in his fatal illness, sat by his head, jalasa عند رأسه, and said to him, وقال له, أسلم أسلم. يعني كرر قوله له, أسلم أسلم. Embrace Islam, embrace Islam. He looked at his father as if to take his permission. And he told him, obey Abu Qasim. Do as Abu Qasim commanded you. So he did, and then died. The Prophet ﷺ departed saying, Alhamdulillah الذي أنقذه من النار. All praise be to Allah who has saved him from the fire. And he commanded his companions, صلوا على صاحبكم. يعني أنه مسلم. صلوا على صاحبكم. Pray janazah for your companion. What to do when the person dies? After death overtakes the person, what should the people in his presence do? There are many things. We will not be covering all of them today, but as much as possible. After a person's soul leaves his body and people are sure of his death, those who are present should do a number of things as follows. First, closing his eyes. Closing the eyes. Salama radiallahu anha reported that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam visited Abu Salama, Zara Abu Salama, after his gaze became fixed because of death. Yani, he died, and that is when the Prophet ﷺ came in. He closed his eyes and said, yani when his gaze became fixed, they were not sure whether he was dead or not, or maybe they thought they should not touch him, but the Prophet ﷺ went ahead and closed his eyes with his hand, and then said, إِنَّ الرُّوحَ إِذَا قُبِضَ تَبِعَهُ الْبَصَرُ. إِنَّ الرُّوحَ إِذَا قُبِضَ تَبِعَهُ الْبَصَرُ, which means when the soul is taken, the eyesight follows it. And this means one of two things. Either that as the soul is coming out, the eye looks at how it is coming out and then it becomes fixed there. Or it means that just as the soul is taken away, the eyesight is taken away as well. So it is useless to keep the person looking because he cannot see. On hearing this, يعني عندما سمع الناس من الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم ذلك, يعني تحققوا أن أبا سلمة قد مات. On hearing this, some of his relatives, realizing that he is truly dead, started weeping. So the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لا تدعوا على أنفسكم إلا بخير. لا تدعوا على أنفسكم إلا بخير. فإن الملائكة يؤمنون على ما تقولون. Do not say but good things, because the angels say Ameen to what you say. And he added, اللهم اغفر لأبي سلمة وارفع درجته في المهديين. So he himself started making dua for Abu Salama, teaching them some of the things that they should do immediately after a person dies. He said, اللهم اغفر لأبي سلمة وارفع درجته في المهديين. يعني دائما الدعاء للميت أول ما يكون بالمغفرة. اللهم اغفر لأبي سلمة وارفع درجته في المهديين واخلفه في عقبه في الغابرين واغفر لنا وله يا رب العالمين. أي أن الدعاء لا يقتصر على الميت بل يجوز أن يتجاوزه إلى من سواه. واغفر لنا وله يا رب العالمين وأفسح له في قبره وافسح له في قبره ونور له فيه. وافسح له في قبره ونور له فيه. Which means, oh Allah, forgive Abu Salama, elevate his position among the guided ones, and raise good successors for him from among his progeny. Forgive us and him, O Lord of the people, expand his grave and illuminate it for him. So, this is one thing to do to the dying person, close his eyes and make dua for him. So as is expressed in this hadith, the angels say Ameen to whatever is said at the time of death. This is a time of acceptance of the supplications and is an important opportunity to make sincere dua for the deceased, asking Allah to forgive him, have mercy on him, and let him into his Jannah as the Prophet ﷺ did for Abu Salama. Furthermore, it's not necessary to restrict the supplication to the deceased. Rather, it's also recommended to supplicate for other Muslims, as did Rasulullah ﷺ in the above dua. Covering the entire body, taghtiyat al-badan. The entire body should be covered with a sheet of cloth or garment at the time of death. يعني عندما يتحقق الموت يغطى الميت بشرشف أو بغطاء. Aisha radiallahu anha reported, when Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed, he was completely covered with a soft embroidered piece of cloth. عندما توفي رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم غطي ببردة حبرة or something like that, with a soft embroidered piece of cloth. However, if one dies in the state of ihram, من يموت في الإحرام فلا يغطى رأسه ووجهه. His head and face should not be covered. Ibn Abbas reported that a man was riding his animal on Arafah during Hajj when it threw him off. يعني وقصته دابته على عرفة. رجل في الحج وقصته الدابة على عرفة. ألقته عن ظهرها على عرفة فمات, resulting in his death. So Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, اغسلوه بماء وسدر وكفنوه في ثوبين ولا تحنطوه ولا تخمروا رأسه ولا تخمروا رأسه ولا وجهه فإنه يبعث يوم القيامة ملبيا فإنه يبعث يوم القيامة ملبيا. This is in متفق عليه, which means wash him with water and lotus, اغسلوه بماء وسدر, and shroud him in his two garments. Some of the reports of the hadith say, وَكَفِّنُوهُ فِي ثَوْبَيْهِ. ثَوْبَيْهِ, because you know the person in Hajj, he wears two garments, one around the lower side of part of the body and the other around the upper part. So he said, وَكَفِّنُوهُ فِي ثَوْبَيْهِ, wrap him in these two garments. Do not embalm him or perfume him. Why? Because he is an ihram, and the muhrim is not supposed to be لا يغطيب, لا يجوز أن يغطيب المحرم. He told them also after death, do not embalm him or perfume him, and do not cover his head or face, because he is still in the state of ihram even after death. Do not cover his head or face. He will be resurrected on the day of judgment giving talbiyah. He'll be resurrected giving talbiyah. What is talbiyah? Talbiyah is to say labbaik Allahumma labbaik. So it is a great thing for a person to die in ihram, because when he rises on the day of resurrection, he will be saying, I am answering your call, my Lord. I am answering my call. And as the Prophet said, مَنْ مَاتَ عَلَى شَيْءٍ بَعِثَ عَلَيْهِ, which means whoever dies doing something, he'll be resurrected doing that thing. Hurrying with the funeral. So once a person dies, everything, all efforts should be taken to bury him, which means everything needed to be done in preparation for the burial should be done. The preparing the body, washing it, shrouding it, praying the janazah prayer, and burying him. All of that should be done as soon as possible within the same day. So hurrying with the funeral. The Muslims should hasten to prepare the body for burial, and then bury it as quickly as possible. Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu reported that the Prophet said, Asri'u bil janazah. Asri'u bil janazah. I did not have the full text in Arabic here. I did not get to enter it all. Asri'u bil janazah. Fa'innaha in takun tayyibatan fa yani khayrun tuqarribunaha ilayh. Wa in takun ghayra dhalik فَشَرٌّ تَضَعُونَهُ عَنْ أَعْنَاقِكُمْ إِنْ تَكُنْ نَفْسًا طَيِّبَةً يعني فَخَيْرٌ تُقَرِّبُونَهَا إِلَيْهِ يعني تقربونها إلى الخير بالإسراع في الدفن. وَإِنْ كَانَ غَيْرَ ذَلِكَ فَشَرٌّ تَضَعُونَهُ عَنْ أَعْنَاقِكُمْ يعني في الحالتين يجب الإسراع بالجنازة. Hurry with funeral. It is, if it is for a good soul, you bring it forward to its good destination. And if it is other than that, you drop the evil quickly off your necks. This command to hurry with the funeral should not be restricted to walking fast with the procession. يعني قد يظن الناس أن الإسراء بالجنازة هو فقط في المشي مع الجنازة. لا. It applies to everything relating to the burial of the dead person. But should be applied to everything that can be done to hasten the burial process. Concerning this, there are other ahadith that are more explicit, but we do not adopt them because of their weakness. There are more ahadith which are, you know, clear cut about hanging with the janazah, more than this, but they are not authentic. The first one says, and this is, again, these are weak, so do not quote them as being a hadith, you know. When one of you dies, do not delay him and hasten to bury him. Read at his head the beginning of Al-Baqarah, and at his feet its end. So this is a weak hadith. This is recorded by Al-Tabarani, Al-Kabir, and Al-Khallal. It's verified by Al-Bani to be extremely weak. The second hadith, I see that Talha is close to death, so inform me when he dies, so that I would witness his funeral and pray janazah for him. Hurry to bury him. A Muslim's corpse may not be delayed among his people. Sometimes I think you hear people sometimes reporting this or quoting it, لا ينبغي لجيفة المسلم أن تحبس بين ظهراني أهلي. So this hadith is weak. The third one is very popular, which says ikramul mayyiti dafnu. Ikramul mayyiti dafnu. This hadith actually has no isnad at all, so has no basis. La asla la. La asla la. It's not even a hadith. It's like utlubul ilma walaw bil-sin. People say qala rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam utlubul ilma walaw bil-sin. It is actually not a hadith. It has no isnad. Not even very weak. Not even mawdu'. It is actually without isnad. And the hadith without isnad is nothing. It is nothing. It's a saying of the people, of some people. So seek knowledge in China, even in China, or this one, honoring the dead is in burying him or in burying them. These are baseless ahadith. Burial in the place of death. It is in compliance with the Prophet's command, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to hurry with the funeral. All efforts should be made to bury the person in the land in which he died. The body should not be transferred to another country, because that would delay the burial. Jabir bin Abdullah radiallahu anhuma reported, on the day of Uhud, now look at the extent that the Prophet ﷺ went with this. On the day of Uhud, that is after the battle was over and the Muslims died and so on, the dead Muslims were carried to be buried in Al-Baqiyah. But then it was announced that Allah's Messenger ﷺ commands you to bury the dead ones in the place where they were killed. So after they carried them on the animals and started taking them away, the Prophet ﷺ told them, take them back and bury them where they died. Do not move from here. That was after my mother had loaded my father and uncle, her brother, leveling their weights on the two sides of a camel. Now imagine this. A woman carrying the body of her husband on one side of the camel, maybe with the help of her young son. So she put her dead husband on one side of the camel and her brother on the other side of the camel. Both of them were killed in that battle. Leveling their weights on the two sides of a camel. So they were that is all the dead people were all taken back and buried where they were killed. When a brother of Aisha radiallahu anha died in Abyssinia in Al-Habasha, he was transferred to be buried in Al-Madinah, and she said, what makes me sad is just that I wish he was buried in his place of death. So she was upset and sad that they brought him from Al-Habasha to be buried in Al-Madinah. In this regard, An-Nawawi rahimahullah says, if the dead person had requested in his will to be transferred to a different land for burial, this should not be executed for him. It should not be honored. Because it is prohibited to transfer the dead. This is the correct and chosen opinion, which is held by most of the scholars and declared by the most elite. Paying off the debts. No, inshallah, I'll stop at this after I tell the story of Jabir, inshallah, and how he paid off the debts of his father. So as soon as possible, the deceased's debts should be paid off from whatever wealth he left behind, even if that would exhaust all of it. So that's the highest priority, to pay off his debts. If the deceased was known to strive in paying his debts, and yet they could not all be covered by the wealth that he left behind, it is the Islamic State's obligation to pay off his outstanding debts, as you will hear from the statement of the Prophet ﷺ. If this is not possible, like in our time, where the Islamic State will take care of that, his closest relatives and other Muslims are encouraged to pay on his behalf. Sa'd ibn al-Atwal radiallahu anhu reported that his brother died, leaving behind 300 dirhams and children. Sa'd wanted to spend the money on his deceased brother's children. He thought that's most important. He has young children who need food, need help, etc. But the Prophet ﷺ told him, إِنَّ أَخَاكَ مَحْبُوسٌ بِدَيْنِهِ فَذْهَبْ فَقْدِ عَنْهِ, which means your brother is restrained by his debt, so go pay off for him. Restrained from what? From entering Jannah, as is said more clearly in the next hadith. So Sa'd went and did as he was commanded, then came back and said, O Allah's Messenger, I have paid off all of his debt except for 2 dinars claimed by a woman without an evidence. She doesn't have an evidence, a proof for it. He, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, told him, أَعْطِهَا إِنْ فَإِنَّهَا مُحِقَّةً, give her because she is truthful. Samura bin Jundub radiallahu anhu, reported that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once prayed the morning prayer and then prayed janazah for a dead man. After he finished, he asked the people, أَهَا هُنَا مِنْ آلِ فُلَانَ أَحَدْ أَهَا هُنَا مِنْ آلِ فُلَانٍ أَحَدْ, which means, is any of the family of such and such, that is of the deceased relatives, present? Everybody was silent at first. After he repeated his question three times, a man from the back rows said, here I am, here I am. And then, dragging his garments, proceeded toward the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to him, ما منعك في المرتين الأولين أن تكون أجبتني? What prevented you from responding to me in the first two times? أما إني لم أنوه باسمك إلا لخير. I did not call out your name except for something good. And as if he was afraid that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam wanted to tell him something like bad or a warning or something for something that he did. So he said, I only said, called you out for a good reason. إِنَّ فُلَانًا مَأْسُورٌ بِدَيْنِهِ عَنِ الْجَنَّةِ. This man, which is a dead man, is restrained by his debt from entering Jannah. فَإِنْ شِئْتُمْ فَفْدُوهُ وَإِنْ شِئْتُمْ فَأَسْلِمُوهُ إِلَىٰ عَذَابِ اللَّهِ. So he said, you are his family, his relatives. If you wish, ransom him. Otherwise, surrender him to Allah's punishment. Samura concluded, the reporter of the hadith, he said, you should have seen his family and other relatives hurrying to pay off his debts until no one was left asking for anything from him. So they immediately fulfilled the command of the Prophet ﷺ. Now the hadith of Jabir. Jabir ibn Abdullah reported that when a man once what? Okay, I have some, I dropped some words here by mistake. Okay, Jabir reported that once a man was died. So he was shrouded, he was washed, shrouded in bond, and placed where the funerals are usually placed for janazah. Fi maqami aw inda maqami Jibreel. It seems like there was a place in the Prophet's masjid which is called Maqam Jibreel, place where probably Jibreel came to the Prophet ﷺ to teach him or to reveal to him or things like that. So the body was placed there. Allah's Messenger was then invited to pray janazah for him. He came in, took a few steps, so he came from the back it seems, walked a few steps, and then as if some revelation was came to him. Then stopped and asked, لَعَلَّ عَلَى صَاحِبِكُمْ دَيْنَا, which means, perhaps your friend owes some debt. He was told, yes, two dinars, that's it. Like in our time, as I said, something like $20. لَعَلَّ عَلَى صَاحِبِكُمْ دَيْنَا. Yes, two dinars. Abu Qatada said, so he moved back. The Prophet ﷺ did not continue on his way to pray the janazah. He moved back. He wanted to leave. And said, صَلُّوا عَلَى صَاحِبِكُمْ. He said, go ahead and pray for your friend, the janazah. And when the Prophet ﷺ said this, that means something big. He refused to pray the janazah. That means this is a sinner. A clear sinner, because he did not refuse to pray the janazah except for people who were like that. And then in that case, he would still command the sahaba to pray janazah for him. صَلُّوا عَلَى صَاحِبِكُمْ, but he himself would not do it. So when he said صَلُّوا عَلَى صَاحِبِكُمْ, they were very scared that this man has committed a great sin. So Abu Qatada, one of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, said, oh Allah's Messenger, I will take care of the two dinars. Alayya dinari. Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam inquired from him, هُمَا عَلَيْكَ وَفِي مَالِكَ وَالْمَيِّتُ مِنْهُمْ بَرِيءٌ. He wants to confirm, you take care of them from your own wealth, and the deceased is free from them. He told him, yes. So the Prophet ﷺ prayed janazah for him. On the following day, the Prophet ﷺ met Abu Qatada and asked him, مَا فَعَلَ الدِّينَارَانِ, which means, what happened to the two dinars? Did you pay them? He replied, oh Allah's Messenger, he only died yesterday. On the next day, he asked him the same. And he replied, I have paid them off, O Allah's Messenger. He told him, الآن حين بردت عليه جلده. الآن حين بردت عليه جلده. Which means, it is now only that his skin has cooled down from the punishment. So it's not an easy thing. That's what it means. It's not an easy thing to leave debts for the dead person. This hadith indicates that paying the deceased's debts benefits him after death, even if it is done by other than his immediate descendants. This is an exception to the general rule that only the charity from the deceased children benefit him. Jabir bin Abdullah, and this is the last thing that I will say, inshallah, reported that his father was martyred on the day of Uhud, leaving behind 6 daughters. So he had 6 sisters to take care of. We heard the hadith in the beginning that he told him, take care of your brothers and sisters. So he had 6 sisters. He owed debts amounting to 30 wasqs. Wasq, 30 wasqa of dates. It seems that that's what they used to deal with, dates. والوسق هو 60 صاعا. الوسق هو 60 صاعا. والصاع يعني هو أربع شو يسموها أربع حفنات باليدين. أربع حفنات باليدين هو الصاع. فالوسق هو 60 صاعا. يعني the wasq is 60 scoops, 60 صاع, and the صاع is 4 scoops with both hands put together. Yeah, so it's 240 scoops, which is a huge amount of dates for each wasq. And they used to use this measure because that was humulat al-ba'ir. So the camel can carry that much. That's how much they put on the camel. 30 wasqs. So he owed, 60 sa'as, one wasq. So his father owed 30 wasqs. He borrowed dates amounting to 30 camel weigh a load of dates. The creditors were persistent on collecting their debt. Yani after his father died, جَاءَ الْمَدِينُونَ يعني عَطِنَا So when it was time for harvesting the dates, of course he did not have any dates until the time for harvesting the dates. When it was the time to harvest the dates, he went to Allah's Messenger and told him, O Allah's Messenger, as you know, my father was martyred on the day of Uhud while owing large debts. So I would like the creditors, I would like that the creditors see you as we harvest the dates. Why? Because he felt that they do not have, no matter how much dates he is going to harvest, it will not be enough to satisfy the creditors. So he thought maybe if the Prophet ﷺ was present, they would be shy of him and they would forgive some of their debts. So what did the Prophet ﷺ say? He told him, اذهب فبيدر كل تمر على حدة. اذهب فبيدر كل تمر على حدة, which means divide the dates according to quality or according to kind, each pile by itself. Go sort the different kinds of dates in separate piles and then call me. He did that and called the Prophet ﷺ, who went to them in the morning, who went to him or to their field in the morning. The creditors eyed the date piles greedily. When they saw the piles of date, the creditors came in the morning, they saw the date piles, their mouths started watering. Now we have the dates, we can get back our money. Hoping to get their debts. When the Prophet ﷺ saw that, he circled around the largest pile, يعني نظر إلى أعظم البيادر, بيادر التمر, ودار حولها ثلاث مرات صلى الله عليه وسلم. So he circled around the largest pile three times. Made dua that it be blessed. ودعا بالبركة يعني. Sat on top of it. وجلس فوقها. And told Jabir, ادعو أصحابك. Let your friends come here. Jabir continues, he then started measuring for them their shares. So he took a measuring cup or something, and he started measuring for them. Come here, how much you want, he gave him. How much you want, he gave him. So the Prophet ﷺ was the one who was measuring. هو الذي كان يعني يقيس لهم أو يعطيهم ديونهم. Until Allah fulfilled my father's trust. حتى أدى الله أمانة أبي. And I am by Allah happy that Allah fulfilled my father's trust. Even if I did not go back to my sisters with anything. يعني it's not important. يعني لا يهم أن يعود أن يبقى أي مال لأخواته. المهم أن يفي ما دين أبي. By Allah I gave up all of the date piles. يعني he gave it up in his mind. He thought nothing will remain after all these guys get their debts. But was noticing that the pile on which was Allah's messenger did not seem to decrease by even one date. So he was measuring for them, measuring for them. وَالْبَيْدَرْ عَلَى مَا هُوَ عَلَيْهِ يعني لا ينقص تمرة واحدة. I stayed with Allah's messenger until sunset and mentioned my observation to him. He laughed and said, إِتِ أَبَا بَكْرِ وَعُمَرْ فَأَخْبِرْهُمَا. He said, go to Abu Bakr and Umar and tell them about this. Which I did, and they responded, we know from what the Prophet ﷺ did that that would be the result. So this shows, you know, that they had faith in the in the barakah, in the blessings from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So I'll stop here, and this is actually close to the end of this chapter. The rest is just more discussion about the importance of paying off the debts, and that if a person is in his life strives seriously to pay off his debts and cannot fulfill that, then the Prophet ﷺ says, أنا أولى بكل من ترك مالا في وراثته ومن ترك ضياعا أو دينا فعلي وإلي, that he is responsible for such debts. That is, the Muslim state is responsible for the debts of these people. So inshallah I stop here and ask Allah Azza wa Jal to make our end a good end, and to provide us with progeny and descendants and friends and relatives who would take good care of us and our things that will benefit us inshallah after our death. Sallallahu alaihi wa sallam. Any questions? Yeah.
When is the right time to make the will?
The right time to make the will is now. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam said, لا يحل لامرئ مسلم لامرئ له شيء يوصي به أن يبيت ثلاث ليال ووصيته ليست مكتوبة عند رأسه. It's not permissible for a Muslim who has anything to write, to bequeath, that three nights would pass without his will written by his head.
You mentioned two hadith. One of them where the Prophet was saying, called him on the death of the person, called one of his relatives and asked him to say he's dead. The second one where he did not say till somebody paid off his debt.
Yeah.
So,
Yeah. The one hadith says that he refused to pray the janazah on him. And the other hadith, he prayed the janazah and then he told after the janazah that maybe you have you owe some debt. Yeah. So these are two different situations, of course, that happen. It seems that the revelation came to the Prophet ﷺ in one case after he finished the janazah prayer, and in the other case it came to him before he went to the janazah prayer to remind people of the importance of paying off the debts. Does this answer your question? Or?
Yeah, I had the impression that the Prophet was not saying.
No, the first case he did, after he finished the prayer, after he prayed. The first hadith, it has reports that it was after he prayed Fajr, authentic reports, and other reports saying after he prayed janazah, he turned to the people and he said, is there someone of the family of such and such?
I read about the second hadith that when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam prayed on the dead person, if he prayed, everything would be. He asked for forgiveness for him. Allah Azza would accept it. That's why he didn't want to pay on the one who owed to the Lord. That's a commentary.
Could be, but I mean, his question is why in the first case he prayed?
That's what I'm saying.
And he still commanded the people to go and pay off his debt, and he said he is restricted from entering Jannah. It's as Allah wills. You know, sometimes he would, the revelation would come before, sometimes after. So maybe to show us that it is permissible to pray on him, but it is also in the other case to show that. To give a severe kind of warning that even though it's permissible, and he did it sometimes, but some other times he refrained from doing it to remind people of the gravity of this action. Nanya Hassan, can I ask you? No, both of them say that he is restricted from entering Jannah. Or they indicate the restriction from entering Jannah. The second one says that he is punished. And there is no hukum, you know, nasakh cannot apply to the what you call khabar, because both of them include khabar, which means information about things happening to the dead person in his grave or in the hereafter. And this is not a hukum, you know, it's not a hukum, it's a khabar. Oh, the prayer? Well, he may pray on him. He didn't say that I am prohibited from praying for him. He does that as a form of showing his sin. That he shows that for the sinful people or the people who have, you know, or are lacking in some areas, he would not pray on them, and he would tell the Sahaba, go pray on them. If it is not permissible to pray on them, he would tell the Sahaba even not to pray on them. Because he was not told. He was not told. It seems from the first time, in the first time it seems that after he finished the prayer he was told.
Even in the second time, he prayed, but still the other person was under the...
Exactly, he prayed after that, but he was given the commitment that his debts would be paid off. That is when he prayed. Is a shafa'ah for him? Allahu a'lam. I mean, his dua is, of course, better than anybody else's dua. So if he prays janazah and make dua, that will definitely benefit that person. But if your question means is his debt forgiven in that case? No. We see that in both cases it was not. Because in the first case he said he is restricted or restrained from entering Jannah. In the second case he said now his punishment has stopped, which means he was punished even after the janazah prayer. until his debts were fulfilled. Yeah, yeah. So it is definitely the dua of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam benefits the debt, but to what level and in what areas, Allahu a'lam. No, there is no evidence for that. There is no evidence in the Sunnah. I know. Back home, they do everything. Oh. Or Fatiha, or any specific portion of the Quran are not authentically reported to be said for the dead people or the dying people. Jazakallah.